Introducing Fitzy
and Whipper. This is an unfortunate typo. Poor Brenda Ginn. She advertised in the North Wales Weekly for art classes. And unfortunately, a young fellow who was working at the paper stuffed up.
What's he going with?
It's just a basic one. He's put an F at the start of art. So if anyone wanted to give Brenda a call on this number and get involved with her fart classes, just to get involved. Poor Brenda has been inundated with calls throughout the week. This is poor Brenda. She sounds pretty down.
This advert, it might have appeared funny when it first happened, but we've had, obviously, a lot of feedback, and it's toilet humour, and it's been a bit depressing. People offering to bring the sons in and that kind of thing.
She didn't really want to go into some of them, but in the article, she's written some of the calls that she's got. She's had people ringing in asking if they could bring their own trumpet. One guy consistently rings her and asks if she could pull his finger.
I'm a bit above this stuff, but go on.
A woman rang in and said if she makes up her mind halfway through the class that it isn't for her, can she quickly pop off?
I get it.
Another man rang in because he heard the course was silent but deadly. He wanted to know if it was okay to do it.
They're the worst.
And the other one said, look, if you need any help, an extra teacher, he said, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm pretty good.
I get it. Look, it is. I mean, it could also open you up to a new community that she wasn't interested in. I mean, what is art is the great question. And some of the things that I've seen my mates perform at different times, especially sort of a morning after drinking, it could be considered a craft. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Mr. Methane Fitzy. I mean, he was quite an artist, and he would tour and do shows where there'd be flames and all sorts of projectile gas, and that was really something.
Well, that's right. If you got Mr. Methane together with a mix of Ken Doan,
yes,
that's not bad.
It's an interesting art
where you just splatter everything.
That's Jackson Pollock.
That's a show.
Oh yeah, if you put Mr. Methane together with Jackson Pollock,
brown poles. a little bit different to the original blue.
Well, we just want a big shout out to Brenda. She's had a horrible weekend. And if anyone wants to get involved.
Where do I enroll Tommy?
I'm not signing up. I'm not signing up for that.
Well, Tom's a lecturer himself.
Straight to the master class.
Yeah, which is weird.
Distinction, Mr. Ivy.
Yeah, all right, mate.
Early in the morning, and it's Monday.
Time for fun with some wordplay. Pun Monday.
It is Punday Monday, and we just thought with the storms over the weekend, why don't we kick it off with an easy one? We've got a great prize, date night at Gold Class. If you can come up with any kind of celebrity with any kind of weather pun, stormy pun.
Does it have to be a stormy pun, well, like a bad weather pun or any?
Just bad weather pun, yeah.
I think it's just a weather term, you know, that you can chuck in there.
Keep it broad, mate.
Because really a storm involves a lot of terms, you know what I mean? With there's a lot of humidity, there's a lot of heat. Then that brings in the cold weather that could create a cyclone. Has anyone got a celebrity with cyclone in there?
I'm excited that Matt DeGroote's already questioning what he's got.
I know.
So confidence is low, which for me means you got to kick this thing off, mate.
No worries. Comfortable, confident. Here we go. Rob Lowe pressure system.
Wasn't it?
I mean, it needed the payoff.
And it's just a big shout out to the pressure system family.
All right, well, let me take it away. I've got one for you. Wendy Irwin.
Not bad.
Short, simple, friendly.
Well, Millie did send through Wendy Crawford.
Yeah,
so,
well, that wasn't Wendy Irwin, mate.
Classic, I'll go next. Reads the news with Sandra Sully. Humidity Remington.
Oh, humidity.
Not bad.
Not easy to get in. Sarah's feeling confident.
All right, here we go. Gustin Bieber.
Oh, Gustin. Yes.
Gustin. That's good, Sid. You've outdone yourself, Tommy Ivor. Here we go.
Well, he's my favourite Ghostbusters star. It's Chill Murray.
Tom, you don't have... It's not a singing competition.
It's not a musical, mate.
Sorry, guys.
Okay. Dan in Roselle. Here's your drum roll, Dan.
Guys, I think you're going to be needing a Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon.
Dan, that makes sense.
Any kind of weather pun, and he's got the word weather in the pun.
It's an easy one. Laura in Campbelltown, what's your pun?
Hail Berry.
Oh, yes.
Not bad.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
There's a bit of hail over the weekend.
Yes, yes, yes.
Paul in Five Dock, here's your drum roll.
You seeing Thunderbolt.
I've completely missed that, Paul, I'll be honest. I don't know if it was your accent or your delivery, but let's go again on that one, Paul.
Usain Thunderbolt.
Oh, Usain Bolt.
Usain.
Okay.
Thunderbolt.
Okay. It's a great accent.
Paul, you're definitely part of the segment. I don't know if you're the front runner at this stage.
No, I reckon he is.
Yeah.
I loved his delivery. Matt and Ride, here's your drum roll.
None other than the Tim Haley.
Tim Haley. Yeah, the Tim Daily Haley, you might say. Thanks, Matty. Great delivery from you too. Liz in Belmore. What's everyone on? Here we go.
The late and great David Snowy.
Great. David Snowy.
David
Bowie. Ooh.
Oh,
okay. There's a couple of stinkers in there. Sarah McGilvray, but you need to choose one.
Oh, you can't give it to anyone other than Paul from Five Dock with Usain Thunderbolt.
Paul, you have done very well to win today, mate. Very well.
Oh, lovely.
Can I get some sort of theory music, Jay? Just some mystery music. A guy by the name of Kyrie Irving, not sure if you've ever heard of him, NBA player for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, yeah, he plays with LeBron. They won the championship
last
year.
He's one of the
year.
Big names, mate. Makes a fortune, that man. About $17 million he made last year. Anyway, not the point of what I want to get to today. He's been on a TV show, and for some reason he's got into a deep conversation about the Earth and the planets, and he said, well, you know Earth is flat. It's not really round.
Does he know that there's like NASA?
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. It was actually Pythagoras. Done my research here, Sam. 500 BC, that's when they first realised the Earth wasn't flat. And since then, every photo you've ever seen of the Earth shows that it's actually round.
Yeah.
He said, well, hang on a minute. If you really think about the landscape and the way we travel and the way we move, can you really think of it as rotating around the sun and planets aligning and all this working to specific dates? Yeah, you can, because they've done the work on this for hundreds and hundreds of years.
What is wrong with this bloke?
Imagine how many films have to be reshot if the Earth actually is flat.
All those bloody space movies
that are going on these days. Yeah. No, but all those stupid space movies, The Martian, all that sort of stuff.
I don't reckon they'd have to reshoot them, Sue.
You'd have to drop in new scenes like they did with Star Wars.
A lot of money, a lot of effort.
My question would be, when they do reshoot it, what shape is it? Like, it's not just flat and it goes forever. I mean, is it a square?
It's just into the horizon.
Yeah, just a rectangle.
Triangle, I think.
Triangle, is it? Because that was the theory that the ships would just sail off. The ones that didn't come home, they would have just sailed off the edge of the Earth.
That's
like, if it was flat, if you had a strong enough pair of binoculars, you could probably look out and see Papua New Guinea and maybe a bit of Indonesia over there just down the track, what I mean?
Wouldn't bend around the curve. I mean, I'm not sure the first thing they thought about, Sam, was reshooting all the films, but I'm glad you went there.
There's just a lot of them, isn't there?
There's a couple of obvious theories that people have believed in. The man on the moon one is an old one. And I know that people do subscribe to the fact that they believe NASA just made it up. They went, hang on a minute, we need to lead this race to the moon, so let's just do this in a Hollywood studio and let's see if the world buys it. People still subscribe to that.
Yeah, but see, I mean, that's still the flat. They put the flag in up there, didn't they?
Since they've
been back, I mean, the flag's still up there. Is the flag still in the ground up there? Or has it been knocked down? That's interesting to know.
Schoolies week. I think they nicked it.
From the first ever moon landing, Tom.
Yes.
Who put the flag in the ground? Was it Neil Armstrong? Or was it Buzz Aldrin?
Do you know if Neil was on flag?
We interviewed Buzz Aldrin on the project, yeah. Right? Pre-recorded it, and it went for... It was supposed to be a five-minute interview. It went for 20 minutes.
Oh, God.
And they couldn't cut it. They couldn't edit it up because his answers went for so long.
Oh, no.
That on the night, they're going, oh, we're still trying to get Buzz in. We're in our ears going, no Buzz yet. No yet. 5 minutes to go on the show, and we got time. Buzz has been burnt, guys. We can't get him on. Because he talked absolute dribble.
No. Well,
apparently, Neil Armstrong tried to set up the flag and was struggling, so had to get Buzz's help.
Oh, right, it's a two-man flag job.
But there are 6 flags on the moon.
Right. Well, I think there's about 12 or 13 people that have landed on the moon, or walked on the moon, should I say. That's astronauts, not cosmonauts, not the Russians. I don't know what their story is. What about this one? Apparently in 1966, get your head around this, people believe it, Paul McCartney was killed in a car accident. And because of the success of the Beatles and how much success Paul was having, they very quickly, to keep the business running, put a stunt double in that looked like Paul McCartney and could sing like Paul McCartney. And still to this day, that is the current Paul McCartney.
Pretty
a
convincing.
Stunt double. Very good work.
Isn't it?
Well, it's not good work. It's completely ridiculous, mate.
Looks give a us lot a
better,
like him.
Give us a better theory than that.
All right. What about this one? Dinosaurs help build the pyramids.
Oh, man, you're just making stuff up, mate, now, mate.
Lady Gaga's a man. Remember when those stories were getting around? Because there were some photos that made it look like she may have had a package.
I reckon she did that on purpose, though. She loves a headline.
What, just packed out the undies?
Yes, of course she
did. To try and
get
a rumour going?
Yes, 100%.
You know I'm a big believer in the Lithgow Panther. I won't lie. I mean, you hear those stories of the big black cats roaming around there. And you've seen those current affair reports, mate, of people bleeding with scratches over their bodies because a panther has come out and attacked them.
Why don't we throw you into the bush in Lithgow and you can stay up there and do the show from there until you find the panther?
How long do you think that would take?
Could take years.
Let's focus on the Beckhams. Gee, aren't they a wonderful family? I mean, David Beckham's been in the... been in the news recently for a few leaked emails that had some colourful language, you might say, Fitzy, in it regarding the fact that he hasn't got a knighthood as such. But Brooklyn Beckham, is he the oldest of the kids?
He is.
He was the one actually conceived in Brooklyn.
That's
why they named him Brooklyn.
He's hot as well. Thing is, though, I think the boys are okay at soccer. Mm. No, I don't think they're going to be like their old man, though. That's a tough one. When your dad's David Beckham and you don't really have the same skills as your old man.
Equally as tough is when you give birth to a daughter and they come out looking like the mum did with an original nose, not after all the plastic surgery.
Yeah, you can't tell who your mum is because
they've
changed so much. Mm. Tommy, based on that theory, did you think about calling your son Campbelltown?
Oh, yeah.
On the Brooklyn.
That's right. I didn't.
Back car, back seat.
Where was...
Macca's Dunnings.
Where was Louis conceived? Did you work that out, you and Ian?
I can't say. We did just see 50 Shades Darker, though, on the weekend.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
So that would have been
so it might be called Gold Class.
Oh! Event. Little Hoyt's Ivy.
Okay, mate. Yep, all right. What do you got, Whip?
Or Chop Top.
Okay, mate.
Not nice. Well,
come in here, Chop Top.
Okay, mate.
Here you come.
Popcorn Ivy. Yes. Look at a little beautiful Popcorn Ivy there.
What else?
Anyway, he's a budding photographer, Brooklyn Beckham. So what have we got? Beckham, we got Romeo's 14, Cruz's 11, and Harper. Is that the girl? Is it Sarah?
Yes.
She's only 5 years old.
She is beautiful.
Well, Brooklyn Beckham, they're good looking kids. He's an aspiring photographer. Good news is he's got his first book coming out, which has got many of his wonderful works in it. What I found
Autobiography or?
No, just a photography book.
He's
got a cannon out, mate, and he's just snapping wildly and he's put a book together. Anyway, he's come out and he said that he didn't realise his parents were famous till he was 13. Now, there's a fair bit of water under the bridge by the time you're 13. He said, we went to a game of footy and all of a sudden everyone started yelling out my dad's name. How did they all know who he was? I couldn't believe it. I just look at them like they're my parents.
Oh, give me a break.
Okay, mate. Your house is the biggest house in the street.
Yep.
Your walls are covered with jerseys, right, from World Cups. Your dad's on the news every night.
Yeah.
You walk into your mum's room and she's got Spice Girls singles up on the walls.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows who you are.
Yeah, their home was called Beckingham Palace. You'd think that was the giveaway.
Yeah. Your best friend's mums are salivating over your dad every time he picks you up from school every day.
You go anywhere with your dad, there's 100 blokes with cameras following you around. Your first photos ended up on the front page of the British Times. I don't understand why it took you to 13.
They might have shielded him from all of that. Plus, they moved to LA fairly early on.
That's right.
And they weren't as big in the States. So maybe that was how he didn't understand.
Yeah, right.
That's not bad. But see, you would have thought that David Beckham would have taken... If that's the first time he's... If Brooklyn's gone to a soccer match at 13 years of age, that's pretty disappointing. Yeah, you would have thought you would have been supporting your old man when you were a young fella.
Well, there's the reason he didn't get into soccer. Dad never took him to a game. I mean, when your kids, when Huey goes to school and he hands out DVDs of Big Brother, BBO4, I think that's when they realise that his dad was a little bit different.
He watched recently my first game of footy.
Oh, you made him or he chose
No, he to... wanted to. He wanted to sit down and watch it. But he just, because it was like halfway through the first quarter, he was like, Dad, can you just put a highlights package together? Because I don't want to watch the rest of the game.
Ouch.
Did he get it?
I just want to see your bits. He wanted to rewind a couple of bits. And look, I said, well, you can see the mark that I took there is actually that's my home page on my phone. That's a screenshot. Yeah. You see it every day, Huey.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can hear the commentating call. That's my ringtone.
That's your ringtone. So, I mean, he's heard this radio show. He knows about Five on debut.
Yeah.
What concerns me is...
No, I don't think Huey understands yet. He doesn't understand that his dad's on radio. He just thinks it's the norm.
He would have seen Dad on the Hungry Jack's commercial, wouldn't he?
No, he probably would have been a bit young for that.
What concerns me is when Ted reaches an age where he's going to go, what does my dad do? And then he'll Google me and he'll just see pictures of me dressed in a Lederhosen when we did the Leather Brothers.
Yeah.
And there I'll be fat guy with a leather beret on. Then I'm dressed in female bikinis. And he's just going to look and go, Dad, what is this?
Yeah.
What? So proud.
What
so
is
proud.
This?
He'd be used to it at home, wouldn't he? Just an ordinary day for the Whiffleys.
I don't sit around the house in a leather Lederhosen eating pizza, believe it or not.
Because it doesn't fit anymore.
No, it doesn't. I've blown out too far. That's not how my family works.
It doesn't go with a leather mask.
Oh, yeah? That's interesting.
Okay. Pretty simple. Celebrity doing something completely normal. These are some of the calls that we got last week.
I saw Nikki Webster on a cruise to Vanuatu.
I saw Timmy Bailey at the Narrabeen RSL drinking a skooey.
Mate, I saw Sally Fitzgibbon at a wedding.
I saw in Nelson Bay while I was on holiday Pauline Hanson and Guy Sebastian at our local sushi place.
Oh, yeah? That's interesting.
She's gone a double there, hasn't she?
Yeah, that was a big one.
Anyone from the team who saw a celebrity over the weekend?
Yeah, I got one, guys. Matt Preston. Service station.
Yeah.
Don't even know, right? Don't even know if he was filling up the car, but he was parked in a fuel bay and I saw him buying milk. Looked like full cream too, to be honest.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Very Preston.
Well, I'll take your Preston and raise you a Tommy Williams paired up with wife Rachel Gilbert.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Down at Balmoral there, looking like they're having a wonderful time.
Yes.
Tommy is one of the nice guys too, isn't he?
So what, just having dinner?
No, they were just walking along near the boat house down at Balmoral. Beautiful.
Holding hands?
Yeah, looking very in love.
Okay, that's good.
Right. Okay. Good
spot.
See,
Tom, nah. I'm out as well.
I've had a really quiet weekend.
I had a boring weekend, yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen any celebs either. 13, 24, 10, get involved. Melissa in North Bondi, who did you see?
Good morning. I saw Barnsley buying baby products at a pharmacy in Rose Bay last night.
Jeez, he's changed, hasn't he?
That's interesting.
Like the Barnsley of old probably would have been picking up 4 bottles of vodka. But now he's picking up baby gear. That's awesome. That's a good start, Melissa.
All right. Thanks, Mel.
Claire in Mortdale, who did you see, Claire?
I saw Bo Ryan out on the Hawkesbury with his family on the inflatable donut.
Did he have his top off?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
good rig, isn't it, Claire? Good rig.
All right, okay.
It was a very, very good rig.
Yeah, very good rig, okay.
All right, settle down. Sammy and Manly, who did you see?
I saw Michelle Bridges and Hubby Commando and Bob having a burger in Bondi.
Oh. Having a burger in Bondi?
What? That's interesting.
Yeah. Huh? Did they do any push-ups or stomach crunches or...?
No, but I did notice if they were eating chips,
and they had sweet potato chips, but I'm pretty sure Michelle's burger was bunless.
Oh, the bunless burger, commonly known as a steak with veggies.
Mm. Ooh, that's a good one.
All right.
Talise in Campbelltown, who did you see?
I saw Peking Duck at the basketball.
Oh, the boys, were they DJing or watching?
No, they were just watching. They gave them tickets and it was awesome.
Yeah, Adam and Ruben are two mm-hmm. of the nicest blokes you'll ever meet. Were they firing up a couple of beers in their hand?
Yeah,
you can't claim Peking Duck if they are DJing. It'd be like me saying, I saw Adele. Whereabouts at an Adele concert? I couldn't believe it. She was there.
Bianca in Castle Hill, who did you see?
Hi, guys. Hi, Sarah. I saw Delta Goodrum and Seal going into Bondi Icebergs on Friday night.
Oh.
What? This Friday night?
This Friday night, just gone.
But now, apparently, they all got together. So Boy George was there as well.
Yes.
And who was the other one?
Who is the fourth?
I don't think coach. The fourth one. Kelly Rowland.
Is she locked
yes,
in?
Yes, it is.
Kelly Rowland,
yes,
but she's not here yet.
Ah.
Because no one knows who she is out of Destiny's Child.
Everyone knows who Kelly Rowland is, mate.
She's a superstar.
What about Boy George? Did you see that one in the paper too, that he's renting David Leckie's place for $27,000 a month?
That is a beautiful house.
Wowzers.
Okay, so what are we going to do, Steve?
This is tough because I do love Jimmy Barnes, but you can't really go past Bo Ryan without his shirt on. Oh. It's going to have to be Claire.
Well done, Claire.
Lights, camera, hilarity.
Yes, we got a new update in the Carrie Fisher death.
Yeah, how about this one? James Blunt, as in the musician,
yeah.
He and Carrie Fisher were friends. He recorded his song Goodbye My Lover, one of those hits, in her bathroom, which is very odd. They became friends just before he recorded his very first album. She said, why don't you come stay with me at the compound where she lived with her daughter and her famous mother, Debbie Reynolds. And while he was staying there, apparently Carrie Fisher, he's told this story in an interview over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
She put a cutout of herself as Princess Leia outside his room with a date written on it. And he can't remember the specific date, but he knows it was around now. And it said, obviously, her birth date and when she thought she would be dead by. She said it would be by about February 2017.
I would dare say James Blunt didn't mind having a good time back in the day, and so did Carrie Fisher. They would have had a couple of doobies. He would have recorded that song.
Okay.
And she's probably hallucinated and put a date up there.
I mean, a little bit weird, Fitz. I mean, if you came round to my place and then I effectively put a death notice on your door.
Yeah, that's right.
When you woke up for brekkie, it'd be a bit strange.
And then if you were in my bathroom, going
goodbye, my lover.
I would be going, get out. You've had enough. The 3-day bender's over. You've had enough.
This is really weird.
And whose bathroom's big enough to put a piano in?
Oh, Carrie Fisher had a bit of coin, didn't she?
Yeah, she would have. That's not funny, Fitz. Why don't you pick a death date, and we'll see if you're right.
I'll go with 2053.
Okay.
Goodbye, my love. See you, mate. See you, buddy.
See you, guys.
We'll start planning.
It's a good life, but I'm out of it.
Kim Kardashian said she's going to sit out Paris Fashion Week. It's too soon for her to return to the city after that robbery in October. Even though Kendall Jenner will be walking in it and quite a few family members do go over, she appeared at New York Fashion Week with Kanye. He obviously launched Yeezy Season 5 last week, but she won't be going over to Paris. She says she just can't. Meanwhile, Rob Kardashian, I know he's your favourite, guys. He and Blac Chyna have officially split up, even though they just had their baby.
Yeah, they did,
I thought that was love.
Yeah, engagement, it's all over. It all happened. That's a very busy 12 months that those two have had.
How old's the bub? What, a month?
The bub? No, it'd be about 2 months by now.
Jeez, well, that
November.
Went well.
Yeah, not
What's
great.
What's the name of the child?
Dream.
Dream China.
Dream Kardashian.
Oh, Dream Kardashian.
China's not her real surname. Mm. I don't know what it is. No one really cares.
Would have been quite a few dreams.
So Rob's back on the market.
That's the point. Rob is back on the market. Get out there, girls.
Look out, ladies.
There's the new Bachelor, Channel 10.
Rob
that
Kardashian.
That would actually be quite
funny. Get onto it.
He's a bit of a recluse, so it wouldn't really rate very well.
Take him out on a date. Guys, to a local sizzler or something.
Britney Spears. This is quite funny. She is outraged by her Lifetime. Do you call them biopics or biopic?
Biopic, isn't it?
I don't know. I'll just get that wrong. Either way, they've done this made-for-TV film about her called Britney Ever After. And the girl actually playing Britney is an Australian actress, Natasha Bassett.
So does she have to shave her head?
I don't know if she officially did it. That's all covered in it, though. They cover the Justin Timberlake relationship, and they've in it, though, they say that she and JT made a naughty tape together and that it got stolen, which was never a story, nor was that...
No.
Yeah, so, right. Anyway,
is there a scene in the denim, you know, where they wore all the denim?
Yes, I'm sure there would
be. It wasn't double denim. It was more like quadruple denim there, sir.
There was a lot. Well, everyone's given it. It's just aired in the US and people are going berserk, Britney included, saying it's horrible. But Sarah Michelle Gellar did the best. She played Buffy and she said, "Who lit this movie and why does he hate women?" And everyone's saying, "I can't really stomach it. Oops, Lifetime did it again." That's the company who makes them over there.
Sarah, what about that scene where she attacked a car with an umbrella?
Oh, yeah, that's all in
there. Really good gear.
Absolutely.
She went wild.
Some of her best moments.
That's nice.
Finally, the search is on for Adele, who landed over the weekend in Sydney. She exited a huge private jet with her son, Angelo. Very cute four-year-old. She was cuddling him, holding him very close. But no one has seen her since. So wherever she is in this beautiful city of ours, sing out if you find her, because the paps don't know where she's gone.
Where do you want to go? Where would you go in Sydney to hide? Marylands?
Surely she's in someone's private house. Would she be with Boy George in David Leckie's Queen's Park house?
Nah.
You don't think?
Oh, somewhere secretive.
I mean, you couldn't be too harbourside, because anytime you'd walk outside your house, if it was one of those big rentals, the paparazzi would be there in a boat. Where would you go?
She has quite a big entourage and they tried to conceal her, as she walked off the plane.
I know.
Where?
An Altie and Childs concert.
Yep.
There's there'd be no one there.
Maybe in his cave. She's hiding in his cave.
That could be it. Perhaps get there right now.
Thought I'd share one with you from the weekend. Special day yesterday, Sunday, religious day, of course. We decided to get Jack christened, which was lovely. Interesting one at the church. What I didn't realise, when we did it with Ted, it was just us and the priest in the church, right? Yesterday we roll in, there's four other families there. How long is this going to take? It's a group session.
It's like getting your family shot down at the local supermarket. You just rock up, wait in line, and just bang, it's done.
No, I didn't realise there was going to be other people. They didn't give us a heads up. So the minute I saw that, I called the priest over and I said, I gave him a little golden handshake, Fitz. And I slipped a bit of money into my hand and I said, one for the church, Father.
Seriously?
Yeah, I said a small donation for the church, of course. Gave him a handshake and then asked what number we were in line. He said, you're third. I haven't seen any other sneaky handshakes going on, mate.
Yeah, confessions. I just took a 50 off Michael Whipfley. These are my confessions.
And he's still third anyway. He got a bit of holy water on the head. Well, you know what? We wanted to... We combined the day, mate. So, what's wrong with that?
I'm horrified. I'm absolutely outraged. Who tries to bribe a priest? Just be patient.
Sarah, it was a donation to the church.
Yeah. No, it wasn't, Whips. It was you trying to buy your way ahead of two bloody infants, honestly.
That is not
taking
true.
Taking candy from a baby.
The thing is as well, I think, Sarah, I think the church has been trying to bribe a lot of people to keep their mouths shut over the last few years.
I was going to say, if you want to bring up corruption, I'm not the worst in there, mate.
Exactly.
Sliding scale.
sliding scale. And I'm innocent. Makes me look very clean. Anyway, what we did, we combined the christening with Ted's second birthday. So we thought we'd go bang on the one day, right? So anyway, we did the church, got back to very kindly my sister Louise and her husband Cam said, why don't you just have the shindig back here? So we had a few party pies and a whole lot of grog and we cut the cake and... Mate, lovely, lovely with the kids. One thing I know more and more, Fitz, and you would have done plenty of kids' parties now. Jeez, it gets noisy, doesn't it?
It's ridiculous.
It gets really noisy.
And you've got to keep them occupied. This is... I cannot believe this, because when this went viral, I was like, I'm so sick of this. This is ridiculous what things can go viral these days. But it saved us at the last few birthday parties. Mm. You know the bottle flip where kids leave half bottle full of water and they got to do a...
Flip it and land
a 360 and land it so it's still standing up, sir.
Yeah.
If you can have about 8 or 9 of those around the house in the backyard... Kids will spend hours just doing the bottle flip.
The bottle
Amazing.
Flip. Well, the one that the hit yesterday was they just bought one of those trampolines, but it's the one with the sort of mesh around it, and it's got a zip down the side. The modern day tramp hasn't got the old springs or bars around that you smash your jaw on.
They're really good. They're safe.
Oh, mate, how many kids can you get onto the one trampoline? And you can zip the thing up. You just lock them in there. That was all going well. And Louise and Cam, they've just finished their place, so it was brand new, which was great. Anyway, we cut the cake. Both kids are crying because they're just not into it, which was terrific. So there's a nice emotional photo. But then Ted was sort of playing up, but he wasn't really being himself. And Cam said, look, there's one room. How good's this? They've done the place so well that a magazine's coming in to shoot part of the house. And they said, there's one room that's kind of off limits. I don't want anyone in there. I don't want any food. Got a brand new couch, and they'd bought some artwork and everything and a new rug and decked it out really nicely. Anyway, so I said, look, I'll just take Ted in there because he was playing up a bit and have a bit of a chat to him to see if I can settle him down a bit. And then he sort of looked at me and hugged me and he was a bit teary, so I knew he was off. So we sat down and we just put a bit of high five on, you know. You can always get a kid smiling again. That's with great. Some high five.
Yeah.
It was just at that moment, about 5 minutes in, that he started coughing a bit, which I thought was odd. And then bang, all of a sudden, the vomit started coming out of his mouth.
Oh, no.
And I reckon for the next 5 seconds, like a high-pressure hose, it didn't stop. But it turned into like trying to control a hose that was turned on too strong. And I'd picked him up to try and clear the vomit off the couch. But in doing so, I swung him around and sprayed across the wall. So we've gone wall, couch, and then majority just
bit
ended
Jackson
up on...
Bit of Jackson Pollock.
Yeah, bit of Jackson Pollock. That's another mention. And then Fitzy rounded off with a pro heart on the rug, on the floor.
No. What was it from, mate? What had he eaten?
Mate, it was the cake.
Oh, what?
You know how I told you that story of coming back from daycare and he'd been going, cake.
Well, on not the day, that cake from Nimbin, was it?
No, it wasn't that one. No, he couldn't get his hands on that. That was just for the adults. But I'd pulled him aside and I was nicking off down the side of the house and we were having a bit of cake because Lisa gets funny about feeding the kids too much sugar. So it was just quiet time, father and son having some cake like I you know how I like to do. So for the photographer and Cam and Louise coming in, the brand new couch and everything is just covered in spew.
Oh, no.
There's nothing you can do in those situations.
What a crap guest you are.
No. Well, remember your place, Fitzy, once Lenny had taken his nappy off that time.
Oh, no, that was
Huey.
That was Huey. I mean, how do you try?
He decorated the television.
He was doing some finger painting.
It was actually not a bad piece
of
art.
Nappy. Yeah, I know.
I don't know what you do in those situations.
There's nothing you can do. You can't stop a kid spewing. And poor little Ted, mate, we got home and he just continued to spew.
But the Whipfley kids' parties, I mean, how were the helicopter rides for the kids? And
they weren't
the
bad.
Makeovers from Napoleon Purtis and got their hair done by Joe Bailey.
Emotional story we read about over the weekend. Jamie Wincup. Man, he was soon to get married. In fact, in about a week's time before he called it off and said, that's enough. The Aussie V8 champ had been together with Courtney Nicholson for 7 years.
Mm.
And sort of the idea was that they'd get married at the end of the season. And all of a sudden he said, nah, I'm not doing it.
Life in the fast lane, man.
Well, you could say that. Well, just coming down the straight. Completely blindsided, apparently, she was. What's strange, too, and this makes me think, did something actually happen, was that the Bucks Day played out. They had an absolute cracker. And it wasn't long after that that he said to her, I don't think we should go through with this.
It was a day later, I read. A day after the Bucks party, right, and you'd be pretty hungover, he decides to call it off. Now, two options there for me, Sarah. Obviously, he may have done something that he regrets on the day, or that's a deep intervention that you get from your mates saying, are you sure that you want to go through with this,
Jamie? What an uncomfortable moment when your friends sit you down and say that person's not right.
Well, I agree with you, Fitz, that something must have happened on that day. Because really, if he knew, he wouldn't have decided sort of the day after that this wasn't a week out, that this wasn't for him. So you probably would have just called the Bucks party off. Or was he just in blokey fashion saying, how do I tell 12 mates that we're not having a drink anymore? Let's just do it.
We had a mate that we went 100% on the girl that he was getting married to. And on the Bucks party, we all got together beforehand and said, let's sit him down and say, are you sure you're doing the right thing? Because she didn't treat him too well. And so on the day, we thought, well, let's have a few beers, get the confidence up to do it, and no one could bring themselves to do it. So we didn't do it. And they've split. They were together for a couple of years and now they're not together
and
at all.
And you don't wait till the Bucks. But I think, good on, Jamie, if you're not sure about someone, even a week out, even day before.
Very brave.
Save them having to go through that rather than get together, get married and then get divorced.
I mean, similar, I've told you the story, Fitzy, before of that mate of mine and he pulled his mate aside and said, they sat down at the bar and said, I don't think you should marry her. And they never spoke. The friendship was over. He was no longer invited to the wedding. Wedding went ahead. And then 10 years later, after they'd got a divorce, they met back at the same pub and he said, you were right.
Yeah. See, that's what we were worried about. You don't want to lose a relationship with a mate. Let him go. He learns for himself. Learn by your mistakes.
And that was that other friend who was organising a wedding up on the Gold Coast and walked into the venue on the weekend where they were organising the flowers. And he took one look at the room and said, this isn't for me.
Wow.
And it was a week out. Cup style.
Or the other option is that, you know, and there's probably a lot of blokes out there and even ladies on hens nights as well that may, you know, the old lap dance could be taken a little bit too far.
No, sorry. A lap dance from a stripper does not get you to turn your head on someone you love enough to want to
Sarah,
marry.
Well, Sarah, no, I have told you the story of that male stripper. Black Panther, his name was.
Oh, please.
She ended up leaving.
He's very good at his job, that guy.
She ended up leaving and having a baby with the Panther.
Oh, no, I don't believe those stories. I think you made that up.
I did not make that up. That is a true story.
No,
you know what I want to throw out there? How late did you call it off, right? And was it anything to do with what happened at your hens or bucks party that was the trigger where you decided to go, not for me? And has anyone actually been left at the altar?
Well, that's the thing.
Oh, that's horrible.
I mean, yeah. Look, you're probably going to get the night before and even the day of, but how late did you leave at 13, 20, 4, 10, or do you know a story? Because, you know, if you're a guest at that wedding, I love a good wedding because, you know, you get a good feed and you get free booze all day. Do you still go ahead with it? I would.
You've already paid for it. May as well.
The thing is, if you're not far off from doing it, if you're in the situation, you know it's not right, think of the gifts you get too before you then break up.
That's not bad.
Just a little thought there.
That's not bad.
Sarah, don't shake your head, please.
Well, sorry, how many platters and vases does one man need?
All right, Brooke's given us a call from Sylvania. What's your story, Brooke?
Oh, hi. My dad years ago was a wedding car driver, and, you know, it's traditional for the bride to be a little late to the wedding. So he got the bride to the wedding about 10 minutes late, and she walked down the aisle, and the groom turned around and said, you're late, we'll talk about this later.
Oh, classic. First fight.
So when they got to the bit where the priest says, do you take this man? Mm-hmm. She said, no, I don't. And she turned around and walked out.
Oh, God,
dummy spit at the altar. How good is that?
Because I would have as well. I reckon if your partner's having a crack at you, right, because you're late to the wedding, I reckon in the back of your mind you're going, if they're prepared to do this in front of our families and all our friends, this is what I'm going to cop for the rest of my life. I'm out of here.
Yep.
Wow, that's ballsy, isn't it?
That's a great episode of Married at First Sight as well. I might have to tune into that one. Laura from Currajong, what's your story, Laura?
Hi, guys. Mine's a little bit different to everyone else's. My in-laws did an intervention with the family and with my husband and said, no, can't marry this girl, she's not the girl for you. Went on the whole week right up until the wedding, the day of the wedding, the in-laws all wore black, all the sisters wore black.
That was just terrible.
They wore these black dresses.
Like it was a funeral.
They all wore black, they got together and all the women wore black and then, we got married. They even were on the honeymoon sending us messages, you know, this won't last, stuff like that. Well, we've been married now, 25 years, three children, and the ironic thing is both sisters have been married and divorced twice and a mother.
That's great news.
No. So that was you, Laura. That is an unbelievable story. So that was your family?
No, it was my husband's family.
Did they completely ignore you for the whole day? Was it just really awkward the whole day?
Horrible. Yeah. They wouldn't kiss us when they came out, when you come out of church and everyone kisses everyone. They completely ignored me. Mm. Uh, yeah,
But, you know, you see the wedding photos and that whole side's in black.
Well, Laura, we took a call on the show a while ago when we were on this topic, and there was the guy that said that he sent in a mate to break up a girl's wedding because he was still keen on the girl. So he said a mate sent a mate in, and when the priest said, "Does anyone object?" he stood up and said, "Yeah, I do. This girl's already married," just to get in the way to break up the entire marriage, the entire wedding.
So yeah,
well, we had an awkward silence when the priest said that too. I was like, oh my gosh, and I know my husband was there just shaking, and I'm thinking, oh no, what's going to happen? But we went through with it. So there you go.
Great story.
Stuff them.
Great. Well done, Laura. Great story.
Well done,
mate.
Laura.
Good job.
It's been 5 years since we've had a
Coney update.
A Coney update.
Well, it's not a regular on the segment, is it? Because we don't really get too much news through on Joseph Coney.
Coney 2012. We talk about things going viral. That clip, right? And it was a half an hour clip. You know, these days, they're telling us, a clip can't go over a minute and a half because people lose interest. That went for half an hour, that clip.
Yeah, but did you watch the full half hour?
I did.
I did, Sarah.
The project played it in full on their show.
Oh, I jumped right to the end.
Oh.
Well, give it a minute at the beginning.
You get
the gist, though.
That says a lot about you.
Does it? Well, the fact that you bought one of the Coney support packs and it was totally a big fraud.
It wasn't a fraud, Sarah. It wasn't a fraud. It was a great cause. They wanted to make Coney famous because he was
Coney update.
Because he was one of the most ruthless men in the world, and he still is.
Still is.
Because the Coney update is he's never been caught. He's believed to be operating out of Sudan or South Sudan, and it's been reported that he's enjoying safe haven thanks to the elements of the Sudan Armed Forces. So it didn't work. We're still trying to make him famous. I'm bringing it back. We're painting the town red this weekend.
I mean, remember how many turned up? About 28 people.
I know,
that it was meant to be. Get your posters, paint the town, make Coney. Great in theory.
But do you know what? It all came down to one guy.
Jason Russell.
Jason Russell was his name. Mm. He was the face of the movement. And it was an amazing... Look, he had his son involved. Remember, he sat his son down and he told him about this guy called Joseph Coney and also this other guy from Uganda that they had met, his son had met, who had been taken by Joseph Coney. And his son goes, I know who that man is, but I don't know who Joseph Coney was. And then Jason told him and was quite brutal. And he said, well, this man steals children out of their beds. And he turns, gives them guns, and he tells them to kill other people. It was pretty touching, Sarah. It had 101 million hits in 2 days.
What was also touching was Jason Russell on the street corner after he lost his mind. Do you remember that?
This is the thing.
Oh, that's right.
Because 2 weeks after the clip went viral, he was seen wandering the streets of San Diego naked, playing with himself and shouting erratically. Right? He later told Oprah Winfrey that it was an out-of-body experience and it was the result of extreme exhaustion, stress and dehydration. It had nothing to do with drugs at all. He said, I was just stressed. I hadn't slept for 2 weeks after this went viral. I had to get the money in and we had to do stuff with it. How's this? Jason Russell is no longer involved with the Invisible Campaign organization and he is now running a creative agency. I just finished a children's book with my family, which arrives at the end of March. He's writing kids' books.
And you'll be the first buyer, no doubt. Where's your Coney t-shirt fit?
Least I supported it, Sarah.
Is it with your power band your petrol tablet to make the tank go longer?
I went and bought a t-shirt 2 years after the movement because I felt like I was late to the party but still wanted to be
too
involved.
Too late, mate. And you bought it off eBay, so you paid someone else. You didn't even give it to the organisation.
Oh, no, it was not to support that. It was more Jason Russell and the movement he'd created on that street. Straight corner completely naked.
Whipper bought one that was ice cream Coney and he thought it was the same thing.
Oh, Sarah, I can see what you've done there.
Can you do Whipper's bell over there, please? That's him. Bang. Got him.
What a pity. That's not what we're looking for.
You can get them. Coney t-shirts are for $15 still up on eBay.
Yeah, but the postage is $15, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm just trying to get my head around. When I become exhausted, right, normally on a Friday I'll go home and have a beer. Was it the right sort of treatment you needed, running around the streets completely naked?
Well,
just because he was tired.
It's what you do on a Friday on the couch, isn't it?
No drugs, sir. No drugs.
There was no amount that was actually published, but Invisible Children, they received a significant wave of funds. Like, You would think that they would have got paid. It would have been
so much money. Those kits were $50 a pop or something.
I reckon we would. I reckon you're talking up around $100 million. You would have to.
So what do you want to do? You want to keep Coney going, mate? Do we pick a date and paint the town? And what's the next thing you'd like to do?
Don't back out, Fitz. You're a passionate supporter of the cause.
What do you
want to
do, mate?
Back yourself in, bud.
Yeah, Fitzy supports Coney 2017.
Well, maybe we move off Coney and we make. Why don't we target Toadie?
That's
from Neighbours.
From Neighbours. Make Toadie
well,
famous.
He's already famous, so we don't want to make him any more famous.
I'd buy one of those T-shirts.
But I will be buying Jason Russell's new kids book, which is out at the end of March. Amazing
Claims. Yeah, a bit of an interesting one this morning, Amazing Claims, and we love it because when someone throws it out there to carry it through, like what you talk about with the beer garden, mate, and your grandmother, Hazel, being the first woman to play a piano in a beer garden, there's no real proof with it. That's why it's perfect for this segment, Amazing Claims.
Yeah, I know, and these are always, when you meet someone new at a party or down the pub or at a bar, these are the go-to stories that everyone has. There's always one go-to story to impress someone's there.
Mate, it's similar to that one, that house that's for sale in Rose Bay at the moment, and they're claiming that Mary Donaldson used to go and stay there. I can only suggest that this is some sort of selling technique to go, you mean she was in that pool?
Yeah, how does that boost your sale price?
She sat on that toilet, did she?
No, a better story would be if you were at the slip-in that night when she met Prince Frederick.
Yeah, if you got a picture of them talking at the bar, that'd be worth more.
I've got a mate that was that kissed Mary before she ended up with Prince Frederick.
Wow.
Not long before.
That's on that night?
That's not a bad claim.
No. What, you mean like 5 minutes earlier, Sarah?
Yeah. No, I used to play with him at the Swans.
Oh, now that's an amazing claim in itself.
Once removed, even there,
still an amazing claim.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad to have up your sleeve. We've been getting some great calls for this. This is what we got last week.
My stepmom's sister was married to John Paul Young's brother. My brother was the Australian whip cracking champion. He had the biggest whip in the Southern Hemisphere.
My auntie cleans the gladiator's undies.
That's right. I forgot about that one. Just doing the laundry for Big Rusty.
That's not bad, is it?
All right. Nishan, hello.
Hello, all. How are you?
Good, mate. Got an amazing claim for us?
Yeah, my grandma's first cousin's the monkey man from Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Lost Ark.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
No, the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
But
the monkey man? Who was the monkey man?
He was the one-eyed guy with the monkey that went and ate the dates. Oh. You remember the poison dates and stuff?
That's right, I do remember.
I don't.
He's my grandma's first cousin.
That is amazing!
Nishan, have you ever impressed anyone with that story?
I don't know about impressed. They always think I'm full of...
Have you ever met him before? No.
I've never met him.
I'm amazed you got through, Nishan, to be honest.
That's the exact thing that we're looking for. Kim in Hunters Hill, what's your amazing claim?
Well, my dad was the last milkman in Sydney with a horse and cart.
Oh, that's good. What year was that, Kim?
Oh, we're in the 50s. He was too young to drive. His father died, so he had to take over the milk run, and he was 13. And he used to do the milk run until maybe when I was born, which was in the 70s. But, he was the last one with a horse and cart.
That's a long day, isn't it? Getting out of the horse, getting out of the cart, delivering the milk. Christy in Campbelltown, what's your amazing claim?
My grandfather was the cameraman for Skippy.
Oh, really?
So does he tell stories of how they did scenes or how long scenes would go for with the kangaroo?
He would. They would go for hours on it. And there was many kangaroos. There wasn't just the one.
Yeah. Oh, don't say that.
See...
Don't reveal the secret and the magic of Skippy.
God, he would have just had to keep the camera rolling the whole time, Christy, just to get certain scenes and or faces from the kangaroo.
They did, yeah. definitely.
That would have been a horrible job.
Wouldn't it? That'd horrible be awful. Job. And Fitzy, what faces do kangaroos make?
Well, you know, like just while you're worrying over about to that. The left and
yep, now go to your right.
And then go to the right. And then jumping off. All right.
Yeah, right. Yep. No smiles.
Jumping off. Jumping off. 3, 2, 1. Jumping off.
I think they call it hopping.
Lucy
well.
In DY, what's your amazing claim?
My great-great-great-great-grandfather on my mother's side was an explorer called Sir Henry Ayres, and Ayres Rock, now known as Uluru, was actually named after him.
Oh, that's a massive claim. Is that right up? Can you look that up, please, Tommy? Sir Henry Ayres. Sir Henry Ayres.
Well, surely if he's a sir, somebody else has knighted him for this.
Why did it change from Uluru to Ayres Rock?
Well, didn't it go the other way?
No, it was originally Uluru. It's known to the Aboriginals as Uluru.
But that's why it's now Uluru again.
Well, but it was originally Uluru, and then it was changed to Ayers Rocks, and respectively they put it back to Uluru. But why is Sir Henry Ayres coming up on Google,
well,
Tom?
Yeah, he was.
Does he claim to have discovered it?
No, but he was a premier of South Australia.
Oh, is
so, yeah, he was the 8th Premier of South Australia. He served for 5 times in the 1800s.
But it's in the Northern Territory.
Historians note that his lasting memorial is in the name of Ayers Rock.
Wow. Lucy.
Good. Gee, that's a big claim, Lucy.
I feel privileged that I know you.
Oh, well, yeah, likewise. Fitzy and Whipper. Nova.